You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
It's such an honor to be with you on this day, in the season of Lent, as we worship our Lord together. I want to express my thanks to Gil Krakke for the invitation and to Fontaine Pope for the arrangements and hospitality. I've so enjoyed talking with you, Dean Smalley. My visit has been in discussion since last leap year, so I'm thrilled to get to be with you and am especially excited to be preaching on Leap Day. Out of an abundant and earnest desire to bridge our liturgical season with the quirkiness of our calendar system, my sermon today is entitled Lenting and Leaping. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Listen to the word of the Lord. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of God for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are so grateful to be able to join together and to worship you in this midday service. Open our hearts and our minds to what you would have us learn. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts bring joy and glory to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was born on a fault. The San Fernando Fault line, to be exact, located in Southern California. And as a child, we were constantly being prepared for the big one, the big earthquake that would be bigger than anything we had ever experienced. The San Francisco earthquake of 1906 still loomed large in the California mind. And consequently, we not only had fire drills, we had earthquake drills. For brownies, I had badges for crafts, for friendship, for white gloves and party manners, and then I had the earthquake readiness badge. I was ready. One sunny morning in 1987, my mom was braiding my hair before school when an earthquake hit. The whole house started shaking and rumbling, and we watched the books fling off the shelves, pillows toppled off the chairs, a glass fell and broke, but we were prepared. The bed was already latched to the wall, the bookcases were bolted, and as soon as the shaking started, my mom and I looked at each other in the mirror and said together in a split second, "Is it the one?" We rushed to the door frame. We knew exactly how to position our bodies, thanks to plenty of practice, and we braced ourselves. Turns out the Whittier earthquake of 1987 was 30 seconds long. In 30 seconds, like a flash, our whole world began to shake around us. And there was very little to do. There was no stopping it, even though we were prepared. Even though it stopped after 30 seconds, we were shaken. Even when the world stopped trembling, we continued trembling at the power that we had witnessed and felt that was so much greater than ourselves. In the gospel accounts, Jesus' arrival into this world, born of a virgin, shook things up. The night of his birth was neither silent nor calm. There was the crowded and bustling little town of Bethlehem, a star that could be seen for miles, drawing magi from the east, choirs of angels, shepherds heading to town, animals everywhere, and the drummer boy who thought that Mary needed a drum solo right after giving birth. Don't worry, I know that's not in the text. Even with all the preparation in place for awaiting the Messiah, the prophecies, the predictions, it was still a shock when he came near. From the get-go, Jesus was perceived as a threat by Herod as soon as he was born. His family had to flee to Egypt for refuge for a time, and later in his ministry, he was perceived by Roman, by demonic, and even in cases among the leadership of his own people as a dangerous disruptor. It was a perception that would lead him all the way to the cross and to the tomb. And the fact is, he was a disruptor. The inbreaking of the kingdom of God, ushered in with Christ, was no passive event, but a disruption, reaching from earthly orders all the way into human hearts. We are reminded in the season of Lent of that disruption or shaking up that can come when Christ is near. Lent is itself a kind of disruption to our ordinary lives. It can upend our usual patterns, you know, whether we're giving up something or whether we're taking something on, like attending this service today. There can be a kind of excavation that happens within us, challenging our hearts and habits, reorienting us towards God's grace through the act of repentance that leads to renewal. And at the same time, the inbreaking of Christ into the world is also viewed as the coming of joy over and over in the Lucan Gospel. Turn with me to our text. Even though there's a disruption of expectations and orders with the coming of Christ, Luke's gospel reminds us over and over that Jesus' coming brings joy. No other gospel, in fact, makes this point as often as Luke does. We see this beautifully and powerfully evident in the meeting of two mothers, the elderly Elizabeth and the Virgin Mary. They have both, though separately, received the shocking and disruptive life news from the angel Gabriel that they would each bear a son. And at the news of Elizabeth's condition, Mary set out to visit her. And she traveled from Nazareth to the hill country of Judea. Biblical commentators describe it as a substantial journey, 3 to 5 days to get there. And there was the danger of robbers on the road. And so we observe the resolve and the courage of Mary once again, which we would have already glimpsed in her faithful response to the Annunciation right before this text. The text says she's hurrying to see Elizabeth. She's hurrying. Mary's journey to Elizabeth is reminiscent of one of the most recounted stories of the Protestant Reformation, and I teach the Protestant Reformation, so. One Easter Sunday evening, 1523, in Neuppchen, Germany, under cover of the night, 12 nuns began their escape from their cloister. A merchant driving a fish wagon arrived at the convent to smuggle them out in barrels. This was the reformer Martin Luther's plan, and Katharina von Bora, Luther's future wife, though he did not know that at the time, was among the group. She'd lived in the cloister since she was 5 years old, and in that region, it was a capital crime to abduct a nun, so their plan of escape was risky and dangerous for all involved. But in the middle of the night, Katharina and the other nuns set out with uncertainty, sacrificing their safety, their futures, even their reputations to take this hurried journey. With really no assurance that all would be well, that their families would take them back, or that they would find new homes, And yet, like the disciples who dropped their nets when Jesus called, 12 nuns dropped everything they had ever known to respond to a new calling of faith on their lives. Mary and Elizabeth were at the start of doing the same. And a remarkable thing happened in the midst of their disruption. For when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and her baby inside, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. Biblical scholar Craig Keener's work has pointed out that in pagan culture, for a baby to dance in their mother's womb was considered a bad omen. But here, Luke uses the Greek word that signals an act of joy, leaped. Then Elizabeth describes it as a leap of joy. Luke would use the same term again in Acts 3:8 to describe the walking, leaping, praising man after he'd just been healed by Peter and John. At this turn of events, and despite the challenge of it, Elizabeth greets Mary, honors her, speaks confirmation and blessing to her like a prophet. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. During the Reformation, Martin Luther described Elizabeth's greeting to Mary as the first sermon on earth. So what do we make of this pairing, what I'm calling Lenting and leaping? Of course, Lenting involves remembering the trial, the passion, the persecution that is to come for Christ and his followers. We are anticipating the cross, and in that anticipation, we carry the cross by probing our hearts and lives and faith through prayer, through worship, through reading scripture. By God's grace and the Holy Spirit, we come before the Lord with our repentance in the hopes of renewal. And in the words of my colleague, Esau McCauley, from the IVP's Fullness of Time series, we must repent. McCauley writes, Lent, then, is about turning away from our sins and toward the living God. A season dedicated to repentance and renewal should not lead us to despair. It should cause us to praise God for his grace. In Kelly Capick's wonderful book, You're Only Human, I love that title, also explores this duality at work in the Christian life, this side of heaven, in the tension that we experience between lament and gratitude or joy. He has a simple word for us today, basically, don't pick between lament and joy. And I'll say, don't pick between lenting and leaping. They are both there at the same time in Scripture, just as we experience it in our lives today. The joy that Scripture points us to is nothing as superficial as when all things in life are going right. There's no perfection bar that we can meet where we then switch from lenting to leaping. It's just more complex than that. Luke gives us some guidance here when he uses the word leaped another time. This time it comes from Jesus' own instructions to, quote, rejoice in that day, referring to when you are persecuted for his sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. The echoes of this teaching are found elsewhere in Scripture. The juxtaposition is evident in Hebrews 12:2, for example, which teaches that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We hold lenting and leaping together as we grow in faith in our lives here and now, and as we look ahead to all that is promised. Brothers and sisters in Christ, theologically speaking, we've all been born on a fault line. At some point, our lives are rattled. At some point, our lives are shaken. Someone we love passes away. A job is lost. A relationship ceases. We experience betrayal. we receive a difficult diagnosis. Or maybe we're struggling with other things like doubt as we seek to follow Christ. Maybe we're troubled by our own sin and temptation. Maybe we're just feeling numb or stuck. One of the most disruptive challenges that we face in our society today is that we live in such a fast-paced world. It's difficult to find time to stop and reflect on our lives. It's difficult to try during Lent, as Kate Bowler is saying that a lot these days. Try. My kids are recently enjoying the game Crossy Road. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's an updated version of Frogger, in case you remember that game. Crossy Road requires you to cross the road by dodging cars and jumping over rivers and avoiding trucks. And it's really easy to lose, at least for me, because there's no time to stop and think. You just have to jump and jump and jump again. And if you stop jumping, you die. It's not a very gracious game. And there's surely a parallel here to the lives that so many of us are living, where we feel as though we're just jumping and jumping from one thing to the next, though that's not the leaping that Scripture offers. The interaction between Elizabeth and Mary is surely a reminder that while the journey of faith in Christ certainly grapples with challenges and disruptions, in fact, we are going someplace. We are moving towards joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis writes in his letters to Malcolm, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Like John the Baptist in the womb, we may be surprised by joy, but we are meant for joy. We are destined for joy. Not in the abstract, but in the presence of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, joy is inbreaking into our lives. We are Lenting and we are leaping because the journey we are on in faith is leading us to joy in Christ. Blessed is she and he who believe in what is promised. So Lent and leap away, brothers and sisters. The entrance of Christ into our lives may be a shock to the system, but the promises that he offers leads to the joy that only comes with Easter morning. Jesus is shaking things up. The earthquake that occurs at Jesus' death on the cross, the rumbling and the rolling away of the stone at the tomb is a shaking. And it is a disruption, to be sure, but it is a joyous disruption. In the words of Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him." Thanks be to God for the goodness that he freely offers to all who believe in Jesus Christ. And take this blessing with you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, as you lent and leap, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.